1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Look, if you will, down at verse number 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in him dwelleth in God, and God in him. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this great subject. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that through the Holy Scriptures and with the help of your Holy Spirit, dear God, we would be reminded, we would be informed. Lord, we would be touched with the idea of how much God loves us this morning. I pray, Lord, that we'll see it through the eyes of the Apostle John. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. All of the books in the Bible, the word love is found more times in this little five-chapter epistle than any other book of the New Testament. This should not surprise us. God used the disciple who described himself in the Gospel of John as the disciple who Jesus loved, the Apostle John, to write this epistle. I believe of all 12 of the disciples, no one loved Christ more than John, and no one felt and understood the love of Christ more than the Apostle John did. He embraced the love of Christ. He understood it in a way that I think the disciples grew to later, but they didn't quite have what he had during those formative years. You see, John realized something early on in his relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, it sounds so simple, but John realized something. He realized that Jesus loved him, and that love that Jesus showed him transformed him from a fisherman into a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to just get that message. It's so simple, but I don't want you to leave here this morning without knowing this. God loves you. God loves you. Jesus Christ loves you. I'm going to grab a songbook, and I want you to grab a songbook, okay? I think that the people in the Bible understood it, and I think our hymn writers understood it. Turn, if you will, to page 175, 175. It's amazing how many of the great hymns that's written in our songbook is written about the love of God and Christ's great love for us. 175, it's just like his great love. Give me an introduction. We'll sing the first verse. A friend I have called Jesus, whose love is strong and true, and never fails howe'er 'tis tried, no matter what I do. I've sinned against this love of his, but when I knelt to pray, confessing all my guilt to him, the sin clouds rolled away. Think about it now. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love. Let's sing that fourth verse. Oh, I could sing forever of Jesus' love divine, of all his care and tenderness for this poor life of mine. His love is in and over all, and wind and waves obey. When Jesus whispers, peace be still, and rolls the clouds away,
It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like His grace. Back up a page to 173. I was sinking deep in sin. Far from the, we say, preach, how long are we going to sing? Till y'all realize how much God loves you, amen. Come on, some of you need to tell your face that God loves you, all right? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Let's sing that.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now say, and lifted up, here we go. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
I'm going to read verse 3 to you. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you. How? By His love, out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows His will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be. Let's sing that third verse, all right?
Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows His will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today.
Sing it out now.
Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Oh, these are fun. 178, I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book. He has given me an introduction to that 178.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves thee.
I like that third verse. Sing it with me.
Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in His beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves Eve.
Let me tell you what will be a transforming day in your life when you realize how much God loved you. When you realize how much Jesus loved you, we're going to talk about it this morning. As soon as we get done singing, 180, 180, there will never be a sweeter story. What is it? Story of the Savior's love divine. Give me an introduction, please.
There will never be a sweeter story. Story of the Savior's love divine. Love that brought Him from the realms of glory.
Are you thinking about it?
Just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful,
wonderful it is to listen to those words on verse 2 here. Boundless as the universe around me, reaching to the farthest soul away. Saving, keeping love it was that found me. That is why my heart can truly say, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to that third verse, love beyond our human comprehending, love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending, great redeeming love of Calvary. Give me the note. Love beyond our human comprehending, love of God in Christ, how can it be? This will be my theme and never ending, great redeeming love of Calvary. Lift up your voice, here we go. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me? How about 183? 183, is this a good song for adults also? There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Give me an introduction. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Sing it out to him. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Let's try that second verse. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. 185, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Give me an introduction. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Think about what he did, verse 2. For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for. I know that we don't sing this as a congregational very often, but let's go to 188. Let's do the best we can on this. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Let's try it. Ready? The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell.
the guilty pair, bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels.
Come on, we got to sing that third verse. Ready? Here we go.
Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels.
God loves you. 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 I want to take a little trip through the book of 1 John, and we're going to look at what the Apostle John said about the love of God. And then tonight we'll finish the message. It kept growing and growing and growing, and so I chopped it in half, and we'll preach the second half tonight. I want you to understand, young people, the great connection between God and this manner of love. Let me have you look back at verse number 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Watch this, for God is love. We see love defined to mankind. What is the definition that the Bible gives to the word love? Here's the definition. God is love. Look down in verse number 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now I want to have your attention. Listen to me for a minute here, because we got to hit a reset button on this. I don't know what your definition of love is this morning, but if that definition does not include God, then what you think is love is a counterfeit. This world's messed up this word so bad. This world has perverted one of the most beautiful words that you'll ever find in the King James Holy Bible. Folks, listen to me. Let me say it again. I don't know what your definition of love is this morning, but if that definition does not include God, then what you think is love is a counterfeit. You cannot discuss love without discussing God. You cannot experience love without experiencing God. You cannot understand love without trying first to understand God. You see, God is love. The greatest thing about embracing God in your life is this. For the first time, you have a chance of really understanding what love truly is. Because God is love, and without God, you are without love. Let me show you something else that's exciting about the word love in this chapter. Look at chapter 4, verse number 19. We love him, watch this, because he first loved us. We see love is defined to mankind, and that definition is in the person of God. God is love. Then we see where love was first introduced to mankind. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. You see, one of the things we have to understand is this. God loved us when we were unlovely. God did not wait for us to love him. He initiated the love relationship. He said in his great heart, listen to this. He said in his great heart, I choose to love mankind. I will love mankind, not because of what they are, but because of who I am. I will love mankind despite their sin. I will love them despite their wanderings. I will love them despite their faults. I will love them despite their sometimes foolish choices. I will love them because they need me even if they don't realize it yet. They need me even though they're not ready to receive me yet. They need me even though they are not even interested in me yet. Listen, long before you turned your heart to God, God's heart was fully turned towards you. And aren't you glad that God took the initiative? He said, I will love them because maybe one day they'll realize how much I love them and they'll turn around to me and return that love. Folks, listen to me. We have a very selfish definition of love. Well, if you're my friend, I'll be your friend. But if you're not my friend, I'm not your friend. Sounds like public school, junior high, amen, or elementary. God's so much better than that, so much greater than that. The Bible says, For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, that word commendeth means he proved it. God proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Now you think about this. This verse tells us when God loved us. When did he love me? When we were yet without strength, that's when he loved you. In due time, that's when he loved you. When you were ungodly, that's when he loved you. While we were yet sinners, that's when God looked down and still loved us. How about that? How about that? You see, I'm glad you're in church today, but long before you were ever interested in coming to church, God still loved you. Are you thinking about this? And you know what? I'm glad that you're interested in the Lord now. Something's brought you here. But you know what? Before you were ever interested in him, he was interested in you. You understand that without his divine hand, that spark of life would never have been given into the womb of your mother. Do you realize that according to Jeremiah chapter 1, the Bible says that the very hands of God formed each and every one of us. He's been involved with you and in your life from the very beginning. And he's shown you his love in so many ways. And we walk past him and we're blinded to them. But don't you understand that everything around us was created for mankind? And all of this world was jam-packed the way it is and created the way it is to provide for our needs. I mean, this whole thing was created and made by a God who loved us. And you know what? Even when we were living in sin, think about how many times good things came into your life and blessings came into your life and protection came into your life. I was talking to somebody the other day and they said, preacher, there's been times before I gave my life to Christ that I should have died. I should have been killed. Let me tell you why you were. God loved you. God loves you. God loves you. Well, I want every young person to understand this. Preacher, I don't feel like anybody loves me. Well, that's the devil telling you a lie because God loves you. Preacher, but my mom's turned her back on me, but God loves you. My dad, he's left the house and he's forsaken us, but God loves you. Let me tell you something. My best friend turned his or her back on me, but God loves you. Listen, let me tell you something. You'll never get away from the love of God. He loved you before you loved him, and he loves you now if you do love him. But if you stop loving him, he's still going to love you. Do you understand how great the love of God is? He was willing to initiate the love relationship in our life. I'm knocking on doors in Chicago back in my Bible college days, those Chicago weekends where we were in the inner city and we were trying to reach people for Jesus, and we were systematically knocking on doors in our bus route. We came across a family of teenagers, about five or six different kids, and I don't remember their first names, but I remember their last name. The last name of the family was the Hardcastle family. And they were named right because I felt like I've never met kids that were harder. And it was like trying to get into their hearts and into their lives was like trying to conquer a castle. From the first time I knocked on the door, they were caustic, they were mean, they were nasty. And I remember when we visited that first time, they laughed, they mocked us, they told us to get off their property. And I remember walking away, and I mean teenagers. I remember walking away and the bus worker I was with said, well, we're never going back there again. I said, nope, we never will. Not till next Saturday. And he said, you're not really going to go back there. I said, oh, yeah, you don't understand. That's a challenge now, amen. Well, preacher, they said mean things to you. Yeah, I know. And then they said they didn't like you. I know. And they said that you were ugly. And I said, well, you know, their eyesight obviously is not real good. But I think, you know what, I could grow on them a little bit. And so I just went back the next week. And sometimes they'd answer the door and sometimes they wouldn't come to the door. I mean, literally, sometimes they'd open the curtain and sit there and make faces at me like three-year-olds, you know. Every single week, though, I just kept going back. Finally, Christmas time came. Christmas was going to be on Sunday. We were visiting on Saturday. One of those rare times when Christmas fell on Sunday, and I knocked on their door. Strange thing happened. They opened the door. They were sitting around the living room. And I thought, wow. And they, one of them said, come on in. And I came on in. I didn't know what I was going to run into. And I looked around. They're kind of sitting around. And on the furniture there, what little furniture they had, and I looked around, and the first thing I said was, are you excited about Christmas tomorrow? And they looked around at me, and looked up at me, and looked down the ground, and all of a sudden I looked around, and folks, there's not a Christmas tree, there's not a Christmas stocking, there's not a present, there's not one indication in this entire home that Christmas is the next day. And I said, begin to make small talk, and their mom be trying to, single mom trying to raise these kids and trying to do the best she can, but just not doing well, and the family not doing well. And I didn't have much of a conversation with them, couldn't get much out of them. Finally, I just excused myself. Me and my bus partner left, and I told him when we got out there, I said, these kids aren't going to have a Christmas. And I said, let's go get them a Christmas tree. I thought, December 24th, you ought to be able to get a good deal on a Christmas tree. Probably the only thing that's left is going to be one of those little Charlie Brown ones, you know, but at least it ought to be cheap Bible college student prices, amen. So he said, and I remember him saying, Brother Jerry, I know you love people, but man, they of all the families that live on our route, I said, yes, of all the families live on our route, they need to see the love of God. So we went down, Bible college students. We didn't have hardly two nickels to rub together. We talked some guy out of some nasty-looking Christmas tree. We took our lunch money and went over and bought some Christmas stockings and a few things that we could put inside of it and some decorations. And then I came back, and I knock on the door again. And I thought, they thought to themselves, that crazy bus captain's back here. And they opened the door, and the girl that opened the door was almost, I mean, she was mad at this point. She was mad because I came back. And before she could say anything, I come charging in with a Christmas tree under one arm and decorations under the other. And I had this other guy carrying so much stuff, he looked like one of Santa's elves. And we came busting in, set the tree up, and didn't say a word to just start setting it up and decorating and putting stuff together and hanging their stockings and just act like they were. And they just sat on the and they're just watching. And I turned around and I said, now, aren't you excited about Christmas tomorrow? And the strangest thing happened. These grown-up, mean, nasty, caustic Chicago ghetto kids. All five of those kids came over and put their arms around me and began to weep. You know, folks, listen to me. Most people that are hard, they're not hard, they're hurting. Are you listening to me? You say, well, that person's just bad. Most people that we point out and say is bad is broken. All right. I mean, life's just been nasty to them, and the only way they know to deal with it is to be nasty back. Come on now. Come on. What I'm saying is this. You know what? God knocked on my heart's door. And you know what? Sorry, he got treated worse than... Come on, he knocked on your heart's door for a long time. He got treated worse than the Hardcastles treated me. Me and Bill English, for many years, when we were for a year, at least a full year, while we were up in Bible college, we got assigned a nursing home. They decided to open up a bunch of preaching opportunities for us young men. So we went to a certain office if you wanted to be assigned a nursing home, and they gave us the address of a nursing home. And I don't know whether the guy there didn't like me or what. He gave me a nursing home all the way on the far north side of Chicago. And every Sunday, I was supposed to drive all the way to this. You go to Foster Avenue, get off on Foster Avenue, go up Lakeshore Drive to Foster Avenue, get off on Foster Avenue, go about 40 blocks to the west, and you come across this little nursing home. And we showed up at that nursing home, and I said, so are they expecting us? No. So you've called them? No. So here's the address. Go make it happen. Okay. So we drove up there, and we met the administrator, and we talked about wanting to come every Sunday. And she said, now how often are you going to come? We'll be here every Sunday. We'll be here every Sunday about 1:30. We get out of church about noon. We get up here about 1:30. And she said, every Sunday? I said, yeah. And she started laughing. She said, if I had a dollar for every church that showed up here and said they were going to be here every Sunday or once a month, and it lasts about three times and we never see them again, I said, ma'am, listen to me. If I say I'm going to be here every Sunday, unless God stops me, I'm going to be here every Sunday. She said, we'll see. I said, okay, we'll see. And so the next Sunday we showed up, and we had the best time. Well, the nursing home had about 40 people in it. We finally got to the point where we got most of them to come. And Bill English, you know Bill now, but I'm telling you, young people, you ought to have seen Bill when he was like 19, 20 years old. You know, we didn't have anything, so what we did was we'd take an 8-foot table and we'd flip it over, and I'd make Bill lay down behind the table and had a puppet. And I would talk to this puppet and joke around with this puppet. Yeah, can you imagine your dad laying there and trying to make little puppet voices? It was fantastic, man. And that's what we would do. And you say, well, these people are senior citizens. They love that puppet show. You say, well, did you write a script? No, we're college students. We don't have time to write down anything. Say, well, how did you know what you were going to say? I didn't know what I was going to say. I just got up there and goofed around and made fun of the puppet, and he made fun of me, and we just had a good time. And then we'd finally get done with that nonsense, and I'd pull the pulpit over and open the Bible. We'd sing songs like we sang this morning. Have a good time. When it says we sang songs, it was pretty much me singing to them. And then we'd open the Bible and we'd preach. And I knocked on every door. I wanted to get to know every single person that lived there, try to build a relationship. We'd show up early. We'd knock on the doors. Afterwards, we'd go around and see all the ones that couldn't get there. Some of them were bedridden. We'd always have prayer with them. There was one lady whose room was right across from the cafeteria, and that's where we had the services, and she was right across from the cafeteria, and I knocked on her door the first time, and the door was shut, and I knocked on the door, and she came to the door, and I said, with my best Jerry Ross smile, you know, and I turned on the personality, and hey, my name's Jerry Ross, and I slams the door in my face. I mean, when you get your a door slammed in your face in a nursing home, you're having a bad visitation day. Okay, usually those people are hungry for anybody to come by and see them. She looked out the door, cracking, looked like that, and slammed the door. And I knocked again, and she opened the door, and she's like, what? And I'm like, hello, my name's Jerry Ross, and I'm having to slam the door in my face again. And I said, okay, we'll try next week, amen. And so on the way to the nursing home next week, we were driving down Foster Avenue, and they used to have these little street vendors, you know, in Chicago. And one man was out there, and he was selling flowers. I said, pull over, Bill. I said, we'll get some flowers. And I said, no woman can resist flowers, you know. And so I knocked on the door, show up with flowers this time, and I knock on the door, and she won't even come to it. And I knock on the door again, and she won't come to it. And so I said, I open the door just a little crack, and I take the flowers, and I put them in, and I shut the door. And I thought to myself, she's coming to my service today. She is coming to my service today. I got about 10, 12 steps down the hallway, and I heard the door open, and I thought, she's going to run down and fall down and say, what must I do to be saved? And so I got ready with my line, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the door opened, she had torn up the flowers, and she threw them out into the hallway. They just scattered all over the place. Slammed the door on me. I'm like, wow, come on now. Amen. I say, preacher, do you give up? I don't know. Should we, folks? Let me ask you a question. When did God give up on you? When did God stop loving you? Well, you know what? She's just not deserving. Now, neither was I and neither was you. Okay, when did Jesus come? When we were without strength. When did Jesus come? In due time. When did Jesus come? When we were ungodly. When did Jesus come and die for us? While we were yet sinners. One of the greatest things about the love of God is he doesn't operate like the average Christian operates. Well, if you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. But if you cross me, I'll carry a grudge. That is no resemblance to the love that Jesus Christ has shown to me and shown to you. And you know what? You know what? Say, what'd you do? I just kept buying flowers. And for about a month, flowers were all over the hallway. But you know what? There finally came that day where I set the flowers in and shut the door. And you know what? She didn't throw them out. And the next week, I put the flowers in and shut the door. I just opened it a crack. Couldn't see anything. Just
she didn't throw them out. I thought maybe she died. Maybe she's not even in there. Maybe there'll be a stack of flowers building up. I'm preaching about 4 weeks after she first accepted the flowers, and I'm preaching on the love of the Lord. And I look over across the hallway, and across the hallway I see that her door is propped open, and I can see her feet. She's pulled the little chair over by the opening. And for the next several weeks, she sat in that little by that little crack in the door, and she listened to this preacher preach. Folks, let me tell you this. God is not looking down and saying, when you decide to love me, I'll love you. He said, hey, when you were just a twinkle in your mama's eye, I already loved you. From eternity past, I loved you. Count the days since you got here. I gave you that little spark of life. My hands formed you into who you are. And by the way, God doesn't make any junk either. You know that there's no one ever that's ever been like you in all of the world up to this time. And there'll never be anybody that's exactly like you ever. You know you're a one of a kind designer, unique model that God made. And he loves you in a way that's unique to you and special to you. He loves everybody, but he loves all of us uniquely. Woo! And he didn't start loving me the day I decided to love him back. You know what, folks? If you want to talk about love, then forget what Hollywood's trying to teach you about love. If you want to talk about love, forget this silly junior high and high school, you know, break up, go together, break up, go together, break. You know what? God's not in any of that nonsense. You want to learn about love, you know where you have to go? You have to go to God the Father. You got to go to the throne of grace, and you'll find someone who is love. And you know what? He didn't wait around for us to decide to love him. He decided eternity past, I'm not only going to make mankind, but I'm going to love them. Let me show you something else that's neat. You know, it's one thing to say that you love somebody, but not only is love defined in this book, and not only was love introduced to mankind in this book, but we see the way that love was proved to mankind in 1 John. Go to 1 John 3:16. I didn't say John 3:16. I said 1 John 3:16, look at this verse. Hereby perceive we the love of God. How can we perceive it, preacher? How can I understand it? How can I know for sure that his love is real and it was meant for me? Hereby perceive we the love of God. Why? Comma, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Look at chapter 4. Look at verse number 9. How about this? In this was manifested the love of God toward us. All right, preacher, how do we perceive it? How do we see it? How was it manifested to us where we can comprehend it? We can know it. So many people have said the words, I love you to me. But now they wouldn't spit on me if I was on fire. Preacher, that's the only kind of love I know. Well, you haven't met God's love then, because look at this. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Listen, folks, listen. God didn't just say, hey, I'm love. He didn't just say, hey, I'm going to love you. And all it was words. He's looking down at a mess. Come on now. When did the Hardcastle kids turn? Not when I stood there at their door and told them how much I love them. You know when their hearts turned? When I busted through there with a Christmas tree and some decorations. And you know what, folks? You know what? We live in an age where the little phrase, I love you, has been so cheapened. I think it ought to be something that's sacred. I mean it. I think we've used it so flippantly and so meaninglessly that people don't even know what it means anymore. But if you look at somebody and say to them, I love you, they have every right to say, prove it. And you know what? God in heaven, here we are sinners and we're a mess. And God has always loved us. But you know what finally turned the hearts of man to God is when God said, let me tell you something. I'm not just talking up here. The Bible says, for God, I love that little next word, so loved. How did he so love the world that he gave his only begotten Son? So in other words, he said, this is how I prove my love. is, you know what I do? I don't just talk about it. I back it up. And he looked at the most precious thing that heaven had, his only begotten son. And he said, I love them. Jesus said, I love them too. Well, they've sinned, yes. And the wages of sin is death, yes. And unless something's done, they all die and go to hell, yes. And I think way in eternity past, God said, if we're going to go down this road, what are we going to do about it? You know what Jesus said? I could die for them. I could prove to the human race and show the human race forever what real love really means. And do you realize in the foreknowledge of God, folks, I don't understand it all, but when God created us, the day he created Adam and Eve, he already knew they were going to eat of the fruit. He already knew that Eve would take it. He already knew that Adam would follow suit. And he already knew that Cain would raise up and murder his brother. He knew it all. He knew that the vast majority of mankind would use his name in vain and blaspheme his name and live a life that reflects anything but the fact that we were made in the image of Almighty God. And yet God said, I want him. I still want him. But the Lord, they're going to break your heart. I want them. But Lord, they're going to trample over your commandments. I want them. I want them. So way back in eternity past, knowing all that would happen, God still decided one day to step out on the edge of eternity and speak into existence the heavens and the earth. And then he started with dividing the water from the land, and then he stockpiled this world with all kinds of amazing and wonderful things because he's creating it as a paradise for his crowning creation, which was a man and a woman. And he did all that knowing what they would do to his heart and knowing it would cost him his son. And thank God 2,000 years ago, Jesus delivered it by the Holy Spirit into the womb of a little virgin Jewish girl, was born into this world, and he lived a perfect life. Never sinned one time. That way, when he died, he wasn't dying for his sins. He was able to die for the sins of the whole world. Folks, you want to talk about love? Come on now. The word love's used too flippantly. I love you, I love you, I love you. You know what that usually means? Young ladies, you better hone in on this. You know what that usually means? I want something from you, I want something from you, I want something for you. I'll tolerate you until I'm done with you. That's the world's idea of love. You know, God looks at it a whole different way. He says, I wanted you. And I wanted you even though I know you were going to break my heart. And I wanted you even though I know that you were going to do wrong. And I want you because I want you. And I love you because I choose to love you. And I'm hoping that this love is so great and so powerful and so meaningful that at least some of you will turn around and recognize it and want to love me back. And want to love me back. I called or texted a preacher this morning. He texted me first, Brother Damaris from Hazard. He did it this Sunday morning. He said, Preacher, I'm praying for you. I hope you have a great Lord's Day. I texted him back and I said, thank you for praying for me this morning because I need it. Because I'm about to walk in my pulpit and fail. Because God has moved my heart to preach on the love of God. And how in the world can you preach on the love of God and do anything but fail? Folks, I haven't done a good job. But I want you to understand something. If you're here today, God loves you. Oh, preacher, but you don't know all the things I've done. It doesn't matter. God loves you. He knew you were going to do them before he created you. And he still made the mess you are. What do you think about that? You're awful important to him. He was willing to take his only begotten son and send him down to earth. You say, well, that was for the whole world. Yeah, but it was for you too. It was for me too. What do you think about that? God loves you. God loves you. Hey, Christian, going through a tough time? God loves you. Are you hurting? God knows it. He loves you. Are you weeping some? I promise you this, he's weeping with you. He's touched with the feelings of your infirmities. What do you think about that? Are you here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior? I got great news. God loves you. I mean, he worked out your whole life and all the circumstances of life to get you somehow at this moment in this church to hear this message so that you can get saved. I mean, that's pretty awesome, all he went to just to get you the gospel. And you know what? If you'll come forward today, you're going to find out not only God does he love you, but he will forgive you and he will cleanse you and he will adopt you and make you one of his children. Anybody that wants to can turn to God and receive that gift of eternal life that was purchased with the blood of his own son. You can be saved today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love to us and your love for us. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help that love to overtake us and overcome us and transform us and constrain us and all of the things that you want to accomplish. I pray, Lord, that you would use, dear God, this message to speak to the heart of someone who may be here today and they've never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And maybe the devil has convinced them that nobody cares and nobody loves them. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for being the type of God that I can stand up and preach about and represent and read Bible verses about and to be able to look people in the eye and say, God loves you. Lord, I pray for that Christian that may be struggling, they're going through a tough time. Lord, maybe their heart's been broken and maybe they've been betrayed and maybe, Lord, they're going through one of the things in life, those times of life where they really just kind of sit around, look around, think, does anybody care? I pray, Lord, that they'll come find you today.